So let's pray. We're studying the tabernacle of David. We're studying how to worship in spirit and truth and what God had planned for worship. And so let's continue in that today. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak before those that, Father, you have as your children, including myself. I pray, Lord, they would not be my words, but your words. That, Father, everything that I talk about would be in Scripture, and that, Father, it would be from your heart. I pray that we have ears to hear, and that, Lord, it's not just words on a page or something that we hear today and forget tomorrow, but that we can apply it to our lives, that we can learn how to be intimate like David was intimate with you when he freely just responded to you in absolute reverential worship. And that's our desire, Lord. It's not about fast-paced songs, slow-paced songs, the type of music or the instruments we play. It's about the attitude of our heart. And so I pray that that's conveyed today, Father, through this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we talked about how we can begin to minister to the Lord, right? It says in the Bible that the chief end of man is to what? Come down here and make our own little kingdom and be happy? No, it's to glorify God. We were created in God's image to give him glory. That's the way he set it up. He can because he's God and we're not. So understand that you were created to worship and you will worship something. If you do not worship God, even atheists worship something. They say they don't believe in anything, but they do. They really do. There's something that they worship, themselves or the earth or a little idol or whatever it is that they might consider worthy of their worship. But we said that worship was what? Worth-ship. You can't worship something that you don't hold valuable in your life. And so as we worship, we want to worship in spirit and truth. We want to worship as God has taught us how to worship. And so we said there are ways in which David exemplified in the Old Testament, looking to the New Testament. David was a prophet as well as a singer and a musician and the king of Israel. He was looking forward to what worship would be like one day, even in the day in which we live, right? How do we know that? Because God said he was going to restore David's tabernacle, that it would come back again, because Moses' tabernacle was very legalistic. David's tabernacle had the ark in it with no veil, and it was open worship for anyone who would come in and just worship freely. And God wants that type of worship from us. He doesn't want us stalemated and stuck in tradition and ritual. He wants us to be open to what he wants as far as worship. And there are many, many, many facets to worship. And it doesn't just happen on Sunday morning. It's Monday through Sunday. That's your worship time. It's just that we focus on it in a congregation on a Sunday morning. And David did with Israel. And he gave us ways in which we could do that. And we said that there were Hebrew words, and we study those Hebrew words to know exactly what they were doing back then that is going to be restored in the time in which we live in. But it's not going to be pixie dust that comes down that does it. It's going to be us stepping out in faith according to the word of God to restore David's tabernacle. God does it in what? Through the Holy Spirit moving through us. The Bible calls this a sarksack. Our bodies are just a sarksack. It houses our soul, our mind, our emotions, our feelings, and it houses our spirit that God specifically put in mankind when he breathed his breath into Adam. And that spirit's going to pick up on evil or good. That's why we know the difference between good and evil when we're little babies. The word no comes natural. Okay? God made us that way. You have to understand we're designed to worship. And so it would behoove us to want to know how to worship God the way he enjoys to be worshipped. David had God's heart. He knew that way, and that's why that will be restored. So that's why we're studying what he did. And last week we studied what? The ministry of singers and singing. Okay? And that was an expression of our worship. In the word it said that there were singers appointed by David, right? And they sang 24/7, and instruments played 24/7 in David's tabernacle. Well, obviously not the same people. He rotated groups through so that there was a never-ending worship before God, much like I probably think there's going on in heaven right now with what? The angels and all the host of heaven. God doesn't sleep, right? You can't imagine that. We're made in 3D, right? So we don't know the 11 or 12 or 50 or 100 dimensions that God lives in. But we only think in terms of, hey, we have night and day and there's time frames and we're in a moment of time. That's all we can comprehend. We can't comprehend eternity. No end, no beginning. Our minds are just too feeble to understand that. So one day we will, but you will and are going to live forever. So let's study this part of forever that we're on, right? To know how best we can love and enjoy the presence of God and begin to minister unto our Creator. Amen? So singing and musicians, and that whole part of bringing to God who he is and praising him for who he is and all that stuff is part of what we need to be doing in worship. Doesn't have to happen every Sunday. It could be just the word preached every Sunday. But these are components of what should be in our life, what? Every day. It's not just in here that you worship. You can sing in the shower at home. You can worship with your family at home. You can worship anytime. You can pray anytime. You can sing anytime. You can play an instrument anytime. It doesn't have to be in an audience of us. It's an audience of one. Let's get back into the perspective of how we should be worshiping before God. So we talked about singers and singing. Today, let's cover other expressions of worship through the action of praise, okay? We're going to talk about worship probably next week, I think, a little bit. I've already started to write that sermon. But we're going to cover praise because there's two terms in the Bible called praise and worship, okay? And so we're going to talk more about the expressions of worship through the avenue, if you will, through the action of praise. You understand what I'm saying? We worship God, and praise is a means to worship God. They're not the same thing. Worship covers a host of ways. Our obedience is a form of worship every day. And there's a host of ways we can worship God. In other words, tell him about his worship by being obedient to him and singing and dancing and all kinds of things. But praise and praising him for who he is just one aspect of worshiping God. But there's many facets to praise, and that's what we're covering. Singing and singing we did last week. Each of the Hebrew words I'm about to describe to you conveys a different characteristic or expression. I like to use the word expression because the worship comes from your toes to the top of your head from your spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your body's just carrying your spirit. It's going to go back to the dust. You're not going to have it anymore. Some of you are saying, thank God, right? But it's not going with us to heaven. Who we are inside this body that we carry is what's going to be in the presence of God. And we're going to have new glorified bodies like Jesus did. You'll be able to go through a wall. You'll be able to transport back. Hey, it's going to be like the little movies you see, the Marvel movies on TV, except it'll be the real deal, not the stuff that they're doing here today, okay? So understand that our bodies are not part of the plan that God has to restore. Just like this earth is going to be revamped and it's going to be remade. And what? The New Jerusalem is going to come down and we're going to be living in a Eden, if you will, like Adam was intended to do in the very beginning before sin came in. So let's look at these other expressions of what David and others taught that God enjoys and desires because he mentioned them in Scripture, okay? So the first Hebrew word we're going to look at is halal, H-A-L-A-L. It's used probably the most frequently in Scripture in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language. And it means to boast or to celebrate loudly. That was an expression, right? I can't tell you how many times, and you know, and I'm not saying right, wrong, indifferent, because I'm not here to criticize and stuff like that. But, you know, when you walk into a lot of churches and you're just not allowed to talk above this level, it's not biblical when it comes to praise. Thunder and lightning and loud cymbals and crashing cymbals. God, he enjoys it all. He likes the soft times, and we're going to be talking about the soft times. But this word halal, which was used by David more than anybody else, means, as I just said, to boast or to celebrate loudly. And please note that the celebration is not limited to just our voices, but it also includes instruments, dance, the clapping of hands, and things of that nature. Whatever you can do with your body to make noise and with an instrument that attaches to your body to make noise, whether it's cymbals or drums or whatever, to loudly clash before a God Almighty who you reverence, he's not going to go deaf by it. We might, but he's not. So we have to take into consideration wisdom and discernment to know that if we're standing next to each other or we're playing the music too loud, we need to soften it just for the sake of these fragile human bodies that aren't going with us. The ones we get that are glorified, I'm sure that it can be as loud as you want it to be and it won't hurt you. But for now, let's use a little wisdom with that. But I'm not, you know what I'm saying. I'm just talking about not being like this and saying, praise God from whom all blessings throw. There's times for that, and we'll talk about when we get to that word. But the word halal means, hey, you're excited. I have a God that's going to give me paradise, and I'm going to live with him forever. I'm not going to be shy. I'm not going to be sit back. I'm not going to be complacent. I'm going to worship him from every fiber of my being. And since I got a voice and it still works, I'm going to praise you with everything I've got. And when we all do that together, it's resounding in heaven, and it's resounding before the host of heaven, and it's the type of praise that God enjoys. It's what the word means, to boast and to celebrate loudly. And you can do that. When people say you can't raise your hands or you can't, it's wrong. You can. God appreciates it. Don't let some tree outclap you, because it says even the trees will clap their hands. And we'll get to that scripture too. So we have to understand it's not about church. It's denominationalism. It's not about what we think worship should be like. It's not about traditions and rituals. It's about what the Word of God says He wants from us. So when you're outside these double doors, because you're only here for a couple hours, this is where it really comes into play. Are you singing to God at home? Are you praying to God at home? Are you worshiping with your family? Are you leading your family? Because if you're not doing those things, why are you here today? Because God's not just taking a little token from you. He wants all of you. He's not sharing you with devils. He wants 100% of you, not 99.5. But that doesn't mean that you have to be singing and clapping all day around your house and at work and everywhere. I mean, don't run away with this. It just means you have to have an attitude of worship throughout your life, because you don't know who he's going to bring into your sphere of influence, who you may be talking to, and what he may ask of you to do. And it may be out of your personality and comfort zone, and you got to be okay with that. Not everything's going to fit your personality and comfort zone. If God requires it, you better generate it. I wasn't born to know exactly how to play football, but I enjoyed it and loved it so much I gave worth to it that I became adept at it because I practiced. And God knows, some of us need practice when it comes to singing and other playing an instrument and all that other stuff. And that's okay. It's okay. It's a joyful noise at first, but then it becomes a sweet, harmonious, melodious whatever. And maybe it stays a joyful noise, but either way, he'll accept it. But it's part of what he asked for in his word, right? That's what the word means, right? Please note that this celebration, again, is not just limited to that. It involves our total being, Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. What do your bodies do? They sing and they play and they dance and they celebrate, and you can do lots of things with your bodies. But their expressions, if they're done lewdly, if they're done inappropriately, then it's against God. Because remember, Satan's got his counterfeit. He can make dance turn into something that it shouldn't be. He can make your voice say words that shouldn't be. So understand that the very thing God gave you to loudly and boast and praise God with can be the very thing that curses things. Okay? So by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy, which means it's set apart exclusively for God. Remember that word? Set apart exclusively for God is what holy means. That means a fork can be holy. A knife can be holy. A candle can be holy in the holy place, right? Anything that's exclusively used for God is considered holy. So he says, present your body as a set apart sacrifice. That means that it's going to take a little bit from you. It's not always going to be what you want. It may cost you something. David said, I will not give to God anything that does not cost me something. Well, I got an appointment I got to go to, or I can praise God because I really don't have to make that appointment. I can, you know what I'm saying? We're faced with challenges like that all the time. The world will distract you. The world will do everything they can to keep you out of church, out of men's retreats. It will keep you out of being at home, praying with your family. It will keep you from devotion time. It will make you tired so you don't want to get up. I'm telling you right now, the enemy is against you that much. He does not want to see you to become holy and a sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your what? Spiritual service of worship. What you are doing is not just an act of human nature. You are sacrificing, you are using the gifts that God gave you and the things that God gave you to be a spiritual offering. We don't have to sacrifice bulls and goats and spill their blood anymore. You are the sacrifice. You're the one sitting at the altar, but you're a living sacrifice. We're not going to kill you at the altar because you come and kneel and begin to sing and praise and dance and clap and shout. God wants you to come with that as a living sacrifice. And it's holy, it's set apart. It's acceptable because if you're doing it to anybody but him, you're idol worshiping. You don't do it to a picture. You don't do it even to the cross. You don't do it to a piano. You don't do it to a praise team where the smoke rises up and they sing with beautiful voices. We don't do it with choirs. We don't do it because a guy preaches a great sermon. We don't do it because those are avenues which we use to praise God. But if you begin to idolize what you're doing more than who you're doing it to, you're in trouble. Keep the proper heart focus when it comes to worship. We're learning together, me, you, together, what God wants from us to worship with. So don't look at your personality. Don't look what you're incapable of doing. Well, I can't sing, Pastor, and stuff like that. Yes, you can. You can sing. It's just you may not sing well. Well, I don't play an instrument. Well, you may not play an instrument well. So you're not going to be asked to do it on the praise team. We're going to have leaders do that. That's why David selected those who could sing, those who had great workmanship and craftsmanship to make the tabernacle. We're not going to ask people like me who takes a hammer and hits his thumb before the nail. We do select people to lead that are really good at what they do, but we don't exclude everybody else to the performance of someone who has it all together, or you think they do. That's not the way it is in Scripture that I read. Folks, Paul says to give God our praise and worship with our whole substance. That's your whole being, because it's considered a spiritual sacrifice. And don't forget that obedience is also an expression of worship as well. Why do I put that in there? Because 1 Samuel 15:22 says obedience is even better than sacrifice. So everything that we're about to discuss with these words of how we can express from our bodies praise to God, above and beyond that, which is even more better, if that's a word, more better, is our daily obedience to Him. Right. It's worship to God when you obey.
Yes.
I'll tell you, it's worship to your parents when you obey. That's not idol worship. That's just being obedient. And your parents are happy. Nobody likes rebellion. Nobody likes disobedience in the natural. And God hates rebelliousness. I'm serious. You want the presence of God. You want His presence to be with you. You know, you're not losing your salvation, but the presence of God can leave you quickly when you're in the midst of rebellion and working against Him. And He says, okay, you're on your own. Good luck. And again, it doesn't mean you're losing your salvation. It just means that the presence of God's not right there because he's not hanging around whatever it is you're doing that's being totally rebellious to God. But obedience is worship. So it's all good to God when it's given with the right heart. Singing's okay with the right heart. Playing instruments is okay with the right heart. Dancing is okay with the right heart. Being obedient with the right heart, because you could be obedient and you could be sitting down when you're standing up. Stand up, son. He's sitting down in his spirit, though. Right? Parents? You know when someone's standing, but they're really sitting. You told them to stand, but they're sitting. You better deal with that. I'm just saying, you have to recognize it. You have to discern it. And of course, you know, we do as much as we can in love. But you know what? Chastisement is also in the Bible. I learned a whole lot from a paddle when I was little. If pain does not cause change of behavior, then all you do is get the child mad. And this is not about, I'm not talking about child care now. But I'm telling you, in the Bible, it does say, don't spare the rod. Why? Because God knows that pain is the only thing that will keep us from doing something again. If you put your hand on a hot stove and it's painful, you're not going to do that again. If you spank somebody and they're not crying, they're getting mad at you, you're not spanking them hard enough. And God gave us enough padding back here to handle it. All this modern day, oh, you're abusing your kids and stuff like that. Most of us in here being older, we'd all been abused when we were young if that was the case. But I pray most of us turned out okay. You're not going to ruin your child's life by teaching them the proper way to go. Raise your child in the way they should go. And sometimes it takes heading them in the right direction with the right amount of love. Well, obviously all love, but never spank out of anger. You do it in love. I'm just giving you an example of what obedience means, not just in the natural, but to God Almighty. It's worship. You got to do it with the right heart. Scripture says God is pleased with the heartfelt sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving, both praise and thanks, according to both the Old and New Testaments. Let's look at it. Psalm 116, 17. To you I shall offer a what? Sacrifice of thanksgiving. Why does it always have to be a sacrifice from us? Because we are naturally self-centered.
Yes, amen.
I'm being honest. I'm being natural now. It's a sacrifice to offer thanksgiving because everything's me, me, me in our society. Ever since we're little kids, when you know, that's why we have to train. I told you before, this is a spiritual gym. This is where we meet to gather together to worship God and to learn to be equipped. It says that the ministry, the fivefold ministry, is to what? Equip the saints for works of service. And one of those is to praise and worship our Lord. Not legalistically, but with the right heart. God knows when you're doing it because you just have to versus when you desire, like the deer panteth for the water. You just can't do without it because you know it pleases your daddy, Abba Father. Daddy, I got eternal life. He's given me life. He's passed up so many of my sins, which I should be buried deep in the ground with. How much more grateful can I give him some thanks for that? Does it have to be a sacrifice? But for God, a sacrifice is considered anything that you offer unto him from yourself that leaves you and goes to him. 1 Chronicles 16:4. This is David, because we're studying, right? The tabernacle of David. He appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Keep it there, Pam. To thank and to praise the Lord. What did he do? He appointed people to do that. This is going to be a shock to some of you, but church is not democratic. The Bible has never been democratic. There's an anointing that God places on each one of us when we have a heart for God, and it's recognized by the leadership, and you are then appointed to the position. We don't raise hands to vote who wants to be a member. Could be a Satanist walking in. We don't vote people in. But yet we have various forms of government. You have Presbyterian forms of government. You have congregational forms of government. Those are democratic. Your Baptists and congregationals are democratic. Your Presbyterians are presbytery. There's an elite group of few that dictate the whole. And then you have there's a whole lot of different types. You have the monarchies like the Catholic Church with, you know, one man. They're all forms of human government. Can I tell you what the Bible says? It's a theocracy. God's in charge. And then he places those in the fivefold ministry to be his under-shepherds. And then those appoint others to be appointed to other positions, such as deacons, etc., and elders. That's what the Bible says. So where did we get all of this other stuff where everything's run by the pulpit? It's not pulpit ministry. Another clue for you, it's body ministry. You have leaders, but it's body ministry. You have to have a place to practice. You have to exercise. You have to be given opportunity to exercise your gifts. Because if you can't do it in here, you're not going to do it out there. Hebrews 13, verses 15 to 16. Through him, then, capital H meaning him, Jesus, let us continually offer up, what? Continually, a sacrifice of praise to God. David took it literally. He wrote it, right? Well, actually, he didn't probably. He might have. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. So God expects us to give thanks. And just when things are going well. No. To give thanks in all things, in all circumstances, knowing that God is in charge. And that whether we live or die, he's on our side. That's what Paul said. Look, if I live, it's to Christ. If I die, I'm in his presence. It's gain. He knew when it's God's timing for things. But we ought to always be giving thanks and praising God. This is what Scripture says. And do not neglect doing good and sharing. How about that? That takes a little more than the fruit of your lips. It takes the fruit of your hands. And you got to get back into that back pocket and just wrench it out. And sometimes give to people. I'm not talking about giving an our offering here in church and stuff like that. I'm talking about when you're at the restaurant and you see that waitress that's down and out and you know that she's dealing with a difficult circumstance and she's doing everything she can just to serve you and the Holy Spirit says, give her $100. You better yank out your $100 and give it to her. The church is used to bless others. If you bless others, you too will be blessed, but you bless others. And it will be a sacrifice sometimes. I've taken out a $10 bill sometimes, and God said, uh-uh, that ain't enough. And boy, when that $100 bill comes out, or $1,000, or maybe your car, or maybe your house. I told you the story about that, the prayer warrior, I forget his name right now, but You know, God had to trust him with a little before he could trust him with a lot. He got the $1 million, and when God said, give the $1 million away, he's like, oh my gosh, I got $1 million. But he obeyed, and he did it, and then he got 10 million, and he obeyed, and he got it, and he got 100 million, and then he started a whole seminary over in England, and it just spread out, and millions came to Christ. God will use the very little things to make them very big things in your life if you can be entrusted.
Right.
Giving thanks, not just with the fruit of your lips, but do good, share, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Now, your wife might not be pleased, and your kids may not be pleased, because what we were going to go on vacation with just went out the window. And trust me, most of you that are giving, it's not going to even put a damper into your vacation, because you value that very highly, and so you're not going to tap into that. But you know what? Some people are at a place where you will tap into that. If you had to give everything away, you would, if God told you. You don't do it to earn brownie points. You do it because the Holy Spirit said, this is what I want you to do. This is scripture. Now, the word halal is widely used by David in the Psalms, where you can see, and again, when this word is used, you can see David's belief and his joy, the two of them integrated together, released through his celebratory praise. How do we know? When you believe in God, and you have got the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, it will be exhibited through what? Our body, because our body is that sacrifice of praise that we give, right? That's all we have. Part of your body is your voice. Part of your body is your hands. Part of your body is to dance, right? Whatever you have in your body is all you have to give. There's nothing I can't give to. I can't take Teresa and throw her up in the air and say, praise God. Though I'd like to. Yeah, love you once. I know. But do you understand what I'm saying? You can't use someone else's praise to praise God with. All you have is what you've been given. But give them all you've got. Your voice, your lips, your hands, your feet. Just don't make it the world's way of praising things. Do it, which is what you're going to be learning over the next few weeks. God's way, with his words and how he tells us to do so. So his belief and joy was released through praise. David, he danced joyously, for those of you that know the story, right alongside the ark upon its return to its rightful place in Jerusalem, right? It was obviously halal type of praise. The word halal was used, considering that his wife thought him to be quite inappropriate in his behavior. David was wildly dancing, lavishly, with only his undergarments on. He was so caught up in the presence of God because he was alongside the ark. He was so caught up with the joy of the Lord because he knew God was who he was. He brought him from where he was to where it could only be God. He didn't care what anybody thought. He had taken the presence of God, which was away with the Philistines for a while. He now properly brought it back into the city of Jerusalem. And he was so exuberant and ecstatic and full of halal praise, loud dancing and praising and clapping, that his wife thought he was nuts. Like you think I am probably right now. But it's real, folks. It's what you know what? You're sitting in church right now and you're thinking, I could never do that in church. But if I spied on you in your home during one of your favorite songs that you put on the radio during the week while you're working around the house and doing it, I'd be seeing you doing this and shouting out and laughing and crying. Yeah, come on. I know I'd spy on you. I'd catch every one of you on candid camera. And you'd be giving halal praise. I'm serious. You'd be halaling all over the place. But you come through those double doors and all of a sudden it's, whoa. Somebody might see me be a little foolish. And that's really what the word entails too. To rave on foolishly. Because, I mean, what's so strange? Who cares if you're clapping and dancing and singing? I mean, if you're worried about your neighbor, let them join you. Then we'll get a whole church doing that. And God will be so pleased. It's just... It's one form of worship. I'm not saying that we're coming in here like today. It was very, very reverential. It was more worshipful. And we're going to have days like that. But there's going to be times when the music's going to get a little bit more hippity-hoppity, and you're going to have to get off and maybe, you know, do a little bit more of David's type of dancing when you see the ark coming in and the presence of God coming upon you. Well, when you get in touch with God, you're not going to worry about the person to your left or to your right or in front of you or behind you. But you do need to worry about me, because if you get out of control, then we got to put the fire back in the fireplace. Because we don't want that, you know, and I mean that when I mean there's a, we want your, God gave us emotions to use appropriately, but we don't want emotionalism. We don't want you doing it because you're mimicking something and you're getting wild and you're detracting other people from worship. Because that's what happens. Is sometimes with the wild charismatic stuff, it detracts from worship instead of adding to worship. So it does need to be done with some level of responsibility, I would say. Order. You can be a little bit crazy, but in order. As long as you're crazy in order, right? Hard to explain that one. I don't know. Lord, you have to help me with that one. But David did do this. David was also overwhelmed with joy, and he couldn't help himself, nor did he want to help himself. He was good with it. You see, halal praise encourages people to vocally, instrumentally, and physically praise the Lord with excitement, lavishly boasting, and praising God extravagantly. Not lightly, but extravagantly. That's the word. Here are some songs, again, songs where the word halal is used. And here's the psalms, the songs, because they were songs, where halal is used. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. What did it say? Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth. That means you not didn't say break dance. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. With trumpets. Hey, I got one right there, sitting there in that bowl right there. That's a trumpet, right? And the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the king, the Lord. Psalm 44:8. You just don't need to hear it from my mouth. You need to know that Scripture backs this all up. I'm just telling you where halal is used. In God we have boasted all day long, and we will give thanks to your name forever. What's a name? When someone's given a name, what does it represent in the Bible? Your nature, your character. We're giving thanks to the God's nature, his kindness, his goodness, his gentleness, his loveliness. Yes, even his judgment. We're giving thanks to the character of God. That's what it means to give thanks to his name, giving thanks to his nature, giving thanks to his character. We should be doing that every time we enter his courts with praise, his gates with thanksgiving. We're coming into his presence giving, thank you, God, thank you, God. We're here. Now, let me praise you for who you are and what your nature is, because I'm just a created being and you're my God, and I'm going to boast and I'm going to praise and lavishly give you everything that I have and not be ashamed. David could care less what anybody else thought. Him and God, man, they were attacking giants. Psalm 149:3 says, let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to his name with timbrel and lyre. So we're getting into guitars and we're getting into tambourines here. All instruments. I'm just telling you, there's churches out there that don't believe that instruments are part of today. You shouldn't be using instruments. Yeah. Come on. Just like they say the fivefold ministry doesn't exist. Well, you're going to go back and tell Paul, take that out of the scripture? Well, miracles and all that stuff died with the apostles. Whenever did they die with the apostles? Those apostles died, but it should have been moved on. Prophecies mentioned in Revelation, so there's got to be real prophets, but there's also false prophets. Oh, but they died back in the Old Testament. Sure they did, but there's new ones. It's a gift. It's not yours, it's his. And you're going to get the false with the good every time. Because the devil does not want you to buy into what's powerful and what will work for you and what will take back what he has stolen. Because all he came to do is steal, kill, and destroy, according to the word that I read. And what is he steal, killing, and destroying? It's not like he's trying to do that to the earth. He's doing it to God's people. He didn't care about the ones that aren't saved. That's why my friends are prospering and Christians are just got a life like, ugh. Of course. Because you got something that the devil wants. They don't. He's already got them. Give them everything they want. Let them keep living the life they're living because they're going straight to hell in a handbasket. And you wouldn't want to wish that on your worst enemy because it's forever. Psalm 150, let's do the whole thing. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary right here. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him in the whole world, right? Praise him for his mighty deeds, what he's done. Praise him according to his excellent greatness, and he is great. Praise him with the trumpet sound. I can do that because I know how to play it. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Some of you, again, with the harps and the guitars. Did I say guitar? I'm not even from the South. Guitar. If you're up north, guitar, if you're down here in the South. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. We're supposed to be praising him with these things, folks. Praise him with loud cymbals. Loud, not soft. Ding, ching, 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 ching. Loud. Praise him with resounding cymbals. That means one's playing off the other and you're going crazy. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then he says, and praise the Lord again. You've got to generate the excitement here. You've got to see how the psalmist is writing this. He's so caught up in God. Do we ever get that so caught up in God that we'd be willing to go out on a limb and be a little bit out there? Notice in the psalm that voices and instruments and dancing were all expressions of resounding praise. And the psalmist included anything that had breath to praise the Lord. Well, I think shouting takes a whole lot of breath, right? Certainly takes a lot. It's one of the more widely used expressions of halal in Scripture, the shout. Again, along with clapping of hands. Really, Pastor? Clapping hands in church? Well, let's go to 1 Chronicles 15:28. Thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting. That's what I told you, David was in halal praise. That's why he was shouting and dancing and everything else. And with the sound of the horn. They had trumpeters. They had shofars like the one I blew today, blowing. With trumpets and loud-sounding cymbals and harps and lyres. Man, they had an orchestra. And David was dancing. And everybody was shouting. You thought you were at a party. And it was. The presence of God, which he said his presence would be with the ark. Because he's spirit, right? He's not sitting on the ark while they're carrying him in. It's the Holy Spirit. It's him. It's God. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. His presence was on the ark. And there was a party going on, folks. With no one who could care. They were playing their instrument. They were expressing themselves. And I'm sure they didn't have time to write out the music note by note. This is going to be something else I'll describe to you later called Tehillah praise. These are things that emanate from your spirit and you begin singing words and songs that are coming from your experiences in your heart. And playing instruments freely with no really song, but just, you've heard people jamming. We call it jamming today, right? Mm-hmm. You're just playing because you're happy and you're joyful and you're excited and I'm just glad we're playing together. Now you have a reason. There's God and we're just playing. That's called Tehillah praise. We'll get to that later. I hope you're beginning to understand, you know, I'm just trying to explain to you and give you a flavor of the Hebrew cultural roots, if you will, and David, who was one of those Hebrews that foresaw to the future as a prophet. Psalm 47:1, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands. How many people? All peoples, shout to God. Can you see the word halal here? Your whole expression, your hands, your instruments, your shouting, your body. Shout to God with the voice of what? Sadness. No, joy. Isaiah 12:6. Cry aloud. Shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Have you ever been singing that it got to the point you were so joyful you began to cry because you were just so happy because you just knew God was with you? Or maybe you just got rewarded, or maybe because he just blessed you with something, or maybe somebody was sick or a son he just delivered you from something and you just were just so excited that you began to shout and cry at the same time. That's what he's describing here for us. Isaiah 55:12. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy. Now we're talking about metaphors. Mountains and hills are going to break out with joy. And all the trees of the field will what? All of nature, he's saying. It's not just human beings. All that God has created is filled with his presence, is filled with life. And if they could clap their hands, they would. And if the mountains could scream forth and show forth, they'd shout, they would. And we do hear it at times, in a way. When you hear those trees just a-swaying and you hear the breeze and you hear the mountains and the thunder and lightning coming down from heaven on that. I mean, all creation testifies that we have a God. That doesn't just happen by happenstance. No burst out into the middle of space happened and everything got put in order. God's behind all of it. And he uses all of it to receive praise back to himself. Psalm 98:8. Oh, well, don't forget the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. And then Psalm 98:8. That was it? Good. Okay. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let some silly old tree outshout and clap me. If there's a tree that's going to outshout or outclap you, you're in trouble. Also note that both rejoicing, and rejoicing means delighting in God. I'm rejoicing. I'm delighting in the fact that God's my Father, and I'm in His presence. He loves me, and He's got an eternal home for me, and I'm just delighting with the fact that He's given me health and strength and ability to have a family and just everything. I delight in God. That's called rejoicing. And so rejoicing and joy, which is a little different, are caught up in this word halal. One is delighting in God, and joy is just simply the act of being so ecstatic about life itself that you can't hold back. So rejoicing and joy are caught up. This expression is that word halal, okay? 1 Chronicles 16, going back to David, 25 to 31. For great, and you're going to see it in this scripture, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, reverenced, feared. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place. Ascribe to the Lord. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord. What do we ascribe? Glory. That means what's permeating from you, all of your strength, all of, of what you have, your being is giving get back to God. This is the message from the Word of God. It's the message from David. It's the message of which God says He will restore in the end times. The tabernacle of David will be restored. That means God enjoyed that type of praise before we got into what we enjoy or what we wanted to formulate. One last comment about halal before going on to our next expression. The word hallelujah, remember? Hallelujah. You know that word? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Obviously comes from the word hallel, meaning praise. And Yah, of course, means short for God. Yahweh, God. So hallelujah, when we shout hallelujah, it means praise God. Okay? Just a little side note there, okay? Let's go to our next Hebrew word, which is the word yada, Y-A-D-A-H, Y-A-D-A-H. And it is the Hebrew word for hand. It's the Hebrew word for hand. In this expression of praise, the hands are extended in open fashion. Yada means to praise, to give thanks, and to do so with the hands in open fashion. David Fisher wrote this: lifting our hands in worship to the Lord involves the opening of our being and our very hearts to Him. We are opening our hands and our hearts to the Lord to shout and to give Him praise and thanks. Yada. So when we're shouting and we're dancing and clapping our hands in halal praise, sometimes you're just going to stop and you're just going to open your heart to the Lord that says, Holy Spirit, come upon me and do whatever You will do. Open hands, yada, to the Lord. So we can worship like this. And if you see somebody in praise and worship doing this before you, you know they're in yada type of praise. Lamentations 3:41. You don't go there too much, do you? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 41. We lift up our heart and our hands, yada, toward God in heaven. Psalm 134:2. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Yada. And Psalm 35:18. I will give You thanks in the great congregation, and I will praise You among a mighty throng. Again, it's the giving of thanks, and it's the giving of thanks with extended hands or even without extended hands. Just thanksgiving. God, we just come with our hands up or even down, giving You thanks. Open hands. Nothing's ours. It's all Yours. Whatever I receive, it's from You, God. So we see both thanksgiving and the raising of hands in this word. Psalm 35:18 says, I will give You thanks, that we read, yada, in the great assembly. I will praise halal you among the people. How do you like that? They use two different words. That means I'll give you yada in the great assembly, and I will shout unto God with the voice of triumph in the great assembly. That means you guys. I'm extending my hands and I'm shouting unto God. Two Hebrew words, worshiping God. So go to the next word now. Todah, T-O-W-D-A-H, Todah. It means a thank offering, a sacrifice of praise, or a choir of worshipers. This word is basically used to indicate thanksgiving in songs of worship. Not with the extension of the hands, not just, again, saying it, giving thanks with that, but in a choir of people, in a congregation, in even among a few, we're singing songs of thanksgiving unto the Lord in worship. Psalm 100, verse 2 and 4. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Verse 4. Enter His gates, you all know this one, with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His holy name. That is a song, and we sing it all the time. Psalm 69, 30. I will praise the name of God with song. Yada, I mean, toda, ta-da. And magnify Him with, ta-da, thanksgiving. That's probably where they got that expression of, ta-da, you get done singing your song? I don't know. Sounds like it, doesn't it? Let's move on to the Hebrew word zamar. The word means to sing and give praise while plucking, striking, or touching the strings of musical instruments. I'll say that again. Zamar, Z-A-M-A-R. And that means to sing and give praise while you're plucking or striking or touching the strings of musical instruments. The use of instruments was very common in David's tabernacle. At times, the worshiper simply worshiped by playing on an instrument with or without singing. Psalm 33, 2 and 3. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to Him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Psalm 71, 22 and 23. I will also praise You with a harp, even Your truth, O my God. To You I will sing praises with the lyre. What is he saying? Is he, can you sing with an instrument? No, but the instrument can sing, right? You're singing to God with the instrument, O Holy One of Israel. My lips, now we switch to the song, right? Will shout for joy when I sing praises to You and my soul which You've redeemed. So he said here, he said, I sing with my instrument and then I sing with my lips, my voice. Zamar. Zamar. So the use of musical instruments in worship is throughout the scriptures. So don't let anybody ever tell you that when you go to church, you know, there's no instruments that are allowed to be involved. David built over 4,000 instruments to be used in worship before the ark in his tabernacle. 4,000. He said he could not possibly build 4,000 instruments. Well, 1 Chronicles 23, verse 5. David, again, appointing those that are part of the congregation, right? 4,000 were gatekeepers. 4,000 were praising the Lord with the instruments which David made for giving praise. I wasn't wrong with my calculations, folks. There were lots of instruments. And did David praise with them? So again, instruments are for today. Can you begin to see how God enjoys the expression of our entire being? Because I'm going to stop there with the words for today. We'll pick up on them next week. But are you envisioning the fact that it's what you are, what God gave you, what's not going to go to heaven, but He's given you these bodies for more than just your own pleasure. But He's given you these bodies for His pleasure, to express from it with the lips and with the singing and the dancing and the clapping of hands we talked about. It's all to be given to Him with the right heart. Because if it's given with the wrong heart, you can spit all day and sing all day and sing all day and dance all day and mean nothing to God. David had the heart of God, and he did it with all of these things. And you're learning those things. And at times, you'll start slow, but maybe, you know, practice at home. by yourself. Then add your husband or your wife or your, you know, then maybe if you have a good friend, if you're not married, you go to a good friend and you do a little bit there first. And then you come here and maybe try it. But no matter who you do it with, if you're a Christian, be a little forgiving, right? Let's love each other no matter how we sing or clap our hands, in tune, out of tune, whatever tune you do. I mean, really, it's for God anyway, right? You can put up with somebody for 25, 35, 40 minutes if they're not exactly on key. Now, we're not going to have them lead because that would throw us right out of worship. And if someone does walk from where you're standing to somewhere else to sing, don't get mad and take an offense and now we've got a whole church issue. Just go to another part of the sanctuary. But if you find the whole sanctuary all the way over there and you're the only one singing over here, take singing lessons or do something because I can't explain that one away. Right? There's only so much you can do. I probably shouldn't have said any of that. I was rolling with what being serious and I... We're okay? Thank you, Mike. At least I'm okay with you. If you're the only one here next Sunday, I'll know that I wasn't okay with everybody else. What am I trying to say? Can you begin to see how God enjoys the expression of this entire being, not just lip-syncing to prearranged music? You understand what I just said? Not just parroting or lip-syncing to prearranged music. It's music that comes from your own heart. Your own expression. He will enjoy 2 minutes of that more so than 30 minutes of overheads. Not that we don't do that. Not that that doesn't help lead us into profound worship. It does. But I'm just telling you that God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. We're to sing. We're to dance. We're to shout. We're to lift up hands. We're to play instruments and make melody with our hearts unto the Lord. Last scripture. Last scripture. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. It says, don't get drunk with wine. For that, it's dissipation. In other words, you know what? It comes and it goes. It's not producing fruit with God. No pun intended. Okay? It's just not. He says, this is what you need to do. Be filled. Allow yourself to get full of God, the Spirit. Right? And then it says what? Speak. When you're filled with God's Spirit, begin to speak to one another in song. Psalms. Sing to one another. The pastor that I... tutelaged under, or whatever you want to call it, you know, Pastor Don, he'd just start coming up to you and just singing a song, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and he'd get you to start singing, because you just had to, because he was singing, and you kind of felt alone, but he began to sing songs to, you know, we're to sing songs and hymns to one another, and we're going to discuss what these mean, because there's a difference between psalms and hymns, nothing wrong with hymns, right, and spiritual songs, and we're going to define those, singing and making melody with your what? Heart to the Lord. He's not interested really in your voice. He's interested in what your heart is bringing forth through your voice. Making melody with your heart unto the Lord. It's a radical change for some of us. For some of us, it's just, you know, if you grew up Pentecostal or charismatic or you were in a church that clapped their hands or raised their hands, we knew this, Pastor. You're just telling us what we already knew. But there's a lot of us that have grown up, and I did. I grew up in a Lutheran church and a lot of churches and stuff like that where you never saw any of this other than just the back and forth. And so it wasn't that it was bad. It's still worship to God. They're still going to heaven. It's just that wouldn't you want to be a little bit more like what God wants? Don't you want to be a little bit more excited about what it says in the scriptures God's going to bring us back to in the end times? I know I do, and that's why I'm teaching it to you here. It can be done. No matter how you may feel about it, it can be done through the help of the Holy Spirit. We're going to cover more expressions next week as we study more Hebrew words of this glorious ministry of being able to glorify God with our worship.